Good to see each of you here today. Y'all are going to have to bear with me. I had to have some oral surgery on Friday, so my jaw is a little sore, but I'm going to do the best I can today. And y'all can sing louder if you can. But the Lord's good. He took care of things, and I'll be recovering for a little while. My jaw will be sore for a bit. It is what it is. Okay. Let's take your chorus books and turn to number 26. 26.
Thank you.
this morning, we need to pray for Melanie Welton. We got word from Pastor on Friday that she was really having a lot of physical discomfort. They thought it was a kidney stone. It turned out not to be a kidney stone. They aren't sure exactly what the problem is. She had a virtual visit yesterday, and that's the latest we have. We haven't heard anything else since, so we need to pray for her. Apparently, she's had these issues in the past, and so we just need to pray for her that she feels better. Obviously, if things don't progress quickly and for healing, she will have difficulty coming up this next weekend with Pastor. So we need to pray for that, that she'll feel better, and then that the doctors will figure out what's wrong. All right. So if anyone else has further information, you can let me know. But that's the latest I have as of yesterday morning. So, all right. Jason, would you mind leading in prayer?
Sure. Kelly's doing a lot better, by the way.
Amen.
The lung function was at 40% on Tuesday, and the doctor was real encouraged by that. So he said, see where you're at in 2 weeks. This Saturday, she should be able to come home. She's been riding a stationary bike for half an hour every day. So that's really, we're going to be getting one for the house.
Amen.
She's motivated. So it's been a real blessing, not only the physical health, but also what it does. It's like a shot of B12 mentally.
Amen.
And emotionally. She really almost feels like she's got a lease on life again.
Amen. Praise God.
It's been encouraging, and she just wants to get home now. So,
keep
praying for her. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for watching over us each day. We thank you for all the things that you do for us we don't even think about, and sometimes we're not even grateful for it. And Lord, we want to be thankful people. We want to be grateful. We want to love you for loving us so much. And thank you for this building you've allowed us to have. And thank you for the folks that meet together in this building and want to meet every week. And even though there's a threat of some bad weather today, they still came out and said, let's get together and fellowship with the believers before the snow comes. And so we thank you for that. Thank you that it's warm in here. Thank you for bringing Brother Mark up to us safely. Pray that you give him safety as he goes back home. And thank you for watching over his family as they got stuck on their way to church this morning. That we're able to make it home. Thank you for taking care of them. And Lord, we pray for Melanie, that you just watch over her right now, help her with the physical troubles that she has, and just kind of heal her up soon. They'd be able to come back to us. And we thank you for the way you've worked in providing a house for them, and the speed of what seems to be a quick closing. And so we just pray you help them be able to get everything in order they need to do to get up here and begin to take over this work and move things forward for your honor and glory. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the singing already. And we pray for each one's heart that we would be blessed this morning with the things that are said and the music that's sung. We'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. So, talked to Pastor on Wednesday night. There is a slight update on the announcement we gave this last Sunday. We are going to be celebrating 45 years of the work here this coming Sunday. The actual anniversary is the 1st, which is tomorrow. But we're going to be waiting until Sunday, the 7th, to celebrate it. We will have all our normal services. During the addition that some of you heard Wednesday but didn't know before, was that during the morning service next week, we will have a sanctification, hymn singing, testimony time. So if you want to mention a thing or two that the Lord has done, whether it's this past year or in recent years, whatever it might be, you can certainly do that. And if you happen to have a song from any of our three books, we'll have the one-on-one books out, so along with the hymn book and the chorus book. So you can pick any song you like. And Pastor will still be preaching that day during all the services. So hopefully that'll be a blessing and encouragement to everybody. We can talk about what God has done for us, whether it's here recently or in the last little while. And then during the evening service, we will be having the Lord's table for the first time in quite some time. It's going to be modified. Pastor will let us know the details of that. But for the first time in, I think it was maybe October or November the last time we had it. It's been a while. So looking forward to that. And then, of course, the thing we usually do on that first Sunday of February, we are going to have a dinner here following the morning service. Bring some good food. The church provides everything else. We always have a great time. Hope you'll come and be with us. So that's all the announcements I have that I know of right now. All right, let's go to number 96. Give me oil in my lamp.
I'm in the Lord's army.
working with children and teenagers. Bus ministry at my old church. It's always fun singing these songs. Fun and bringing honor and glory to the Lord at the same time. It's always fun. Okay. There are no birthdays listed in the calendar for this week, which is a little unusual, unless we miss somebody. On that note then, the children's class can be dismissed. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1.
Slide over here. There are a lot more people sitting on this side. All right. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, I looked up this week, see how long it had been since I was here, and I believe it was the end of August, so it has been a while. I want to update you on a couple of prayer requests for the Conversion Center, and then I'm going to give you a chance to give me a scripture reference that has been significant. You know, sometimes in the past when I've been here, we've had a, what I call from my heart to your heart, where you give me a passage that has meant something to you, maybe a couple words of explanation, just something simple. Not necessarily like a time of testimony, but more scripture related. And then we'll get into the lesson as time allows. The Conversion Center has finished its, I guess it would be, 68th year in 2020. It was a very challenging for year as well as for pretty much everybody and everything, partially because the mail system has made our lives incredibly difficult. To illustrate, there was a check mailed from the state of Pennsylvania in the first week of December, arrived at my office a little over a week ago. And then there are checks that I know that have been sent to the Conversion Center December 16th from Connecticut that are still somewhere out there. And I talked to the people at the post office and said, are you tired about hearing about the slow mail? And the guy got a little arrogant with me. And I thought, well, dude, you know, it's not our fault. And somewhere back there that's the problem. But the mail system has really affected things. Our Gospel Catholic that we mail out four times a year is mailed from the Hagerstown, Maryland post office, the downtown branch, and my parents received it 35 days later. They live in the city of Hagerstown, and their mail goes through the Hagerstown post office and the downtown branch. So I'm not sure where that thing was for 33 days, but we have read for the last 2-3 months about problems in the post office. It's very much affecting ministries right now. It's affected us. But please be in prayer for us that the mail will catch up, for one thing, It's strange which letters make it through quickly and which ones do not. Secondly, we're hoping to send out two different large sections of tracts or pallets of tracts, 500,000 to Peru, Lord willing, in the month of April, and hopefully by the end of 21, a million tracts to Mexico. Combine those two projects are going to cost right around $30,000, so please be in prayer for us. And then also please be in prayer for me as I travel. This weekend starts 4 out of 5 weekends that I'll be gone. I'll be in South Carolina on the shore next week. I'll be in Florida the next week, be home for the third weekend, and then I'll be in Niagara, New York for the last weekend in February. It was strange when I was trying to schedule to go see people and pastors that have asked me to come, how it filled up February and nothing in March. And I thought, well, this is most unusual. Well, I realize why. This week I got a letter in the mail. I have been summoned for jury duty for the month of March. So guess who gets to stay home in the month of March? We'll see how that goes. I've never been summoned before, and I know some people have been summoned multiple times, so it's my turn. They had a paragraph in there where you can be excused if you're a member of clergy, and it was tempting. But I figured it wasn't the right thing to do. So we'll see what comes of that, and your prayers are appreciated. All right, we'll take a minute for if you have a particular passage that has been significant to you in recent days that you'd like to share with us, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll call on you, and you can share with us. Anybody have a passage? Yes, Mrs. Glickman. Never more clear than the last year or so, isn't it? We don't understand a lot of what's going on. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
This isn't so much from my heart, but this is from my wife. And she sent me this on Monday. So this was she sent this verse before she found out where her lung function was. And this is kind of the way she was feeling. So she's mentally, this has been a fantastic change for her. But Job chapter 30, verse 18, was a verse that she sent me. And it says, "By the great force of my disease is my garment changed. It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat." And when she's having difficult breathing, that verse really hit home with her.
Sure. Yep. Unable to breathe normally. Anybody else? Yes, Jim.
The one that they're getting me through is 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind."
Yep. Yep. We talked about that last time I was here. How the opposite of a spirit of fear is of power of love and of a sound mind. And so if someone is living fearfully, they're not going to live in the power of the Lord. They're not going to properly love those around them because they're bound by fear. And they certainly are not going to have a sound mind. If you doubt that there's a lack of soundness of mind, turn on any news for any length of time and you'll figure it out really quickly. There's a real lack of it. Very good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Michelle.
Psalms 91.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you don't mind. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." And the last verse is, "He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler."
Very good.
That's my favorite.
Absolutely. Very good. Anybody else? Don't want to drag it out, but certainly don't want to cut anybody off. No? Okay. Proverbs chapter 3. Last time we were here, we looked at verses 15 and 16. I want to read verses 13 down through verse 25. We'll do a little bit of review and pick up from there. It seems strange when my trips here have been so scattered and Lord willing, are going to be increasingly scattered in the future to come as your pastor gets here and gets settled in. But for some reason, the Lord burdened upon my heart to go ahead and study the next verses and try to share them with you. There are a lot of cross references that we'll look at. So if you're willing to read out loud, it'll help us to move right along. And we'll try to get some things in a timely manner. Starting in verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. We're not going to get to verse 25, but look at that. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Rewind your minds exactly 1 year. Think how nice it would have been to have that verse on the forefront of your mind for the year that we've crossed from end of January 2020, end of January 2021. Be not afraid of sudden fear. That's exactly what has hit our country. Sudden fear. Dealing with the passage that Brother Jim Bush mentioned, 2 Timothy 1:7, talking about God hath not given us a spirit of fear. There is a spirit of fear. It's very prevalent. And if God hasn't given it to us, where does it come from? Clearly, the devil. But not only that, neither are the desolation of the wicked. That's what we see today, the desolation of the wicked. Our country is becoming a desolate place spiritually. Never have we seen such rejoicing at the promotion and advancement of wickedness and what God calls an abomination on so many fronts than we do in our nation's history. But that last phrase is very powerful. When it cometh. Not if. Not if. My parents often gave me warnings that if you do this, this will happen. Or it's possible. Those are two different things. Those are two entirely different things. If you carry on in this crazy manner, it is possible this could happen to you. If you drive too fast, it is possible you will get a ticket. It's possible you will crash your car. But God's saying when it cometh. So it's written down. It's etched in stone. These two things are going to happen. We're seeing them today. Don't be afraid of sudden fear or the desolation of the wicked, because it's coming, it's here, and it's only going to get worse. So what are we going to be doing with it? All right. Now, enough of that. We got through verses 15 and 16 last time. We talked about wisdom being more precious than rubies and all the things thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Wisdom is something that's more valuable than financial wealth. Many times people will come into financial wealth, will lose it because of a lack of wisdom. Anyone have any word on the story about GameStop stock this week? Some people weren't wise and gambled that people wouldn't catch on and are losing their shirts. Frankly, I think it's hilarious. But wisdom. Wisdom. How many times do people come into vast wealth or they see perceived wealth and they lose it because of a lack of wisdom? All of us, I expect, could think of someone who got a great job. Or I know one particular young man had been in trouble with the law, got a phenomenal job in my home area at the Volvo plant. He's not wise. Stuck around the bar scene, the gang scene, went to jail. Guess what? He's never getting that job back. All right? Lack of wisdom. Wisdom is more valuable than rubies. Verse number 16 talks about the things that man searches and wants the most. What are they? Length of days and riches and honor. I am not a health and wealth guy. But wisdom allows us to have riches beyond what foolish people go through. A fool and his money are what? Soon parted. Right? I have a man who used to work for, inherited $250,000, started playing the lottery more. Why? He had a great job. Everything he had was paid for, house cared for, no issues. Now he's a young man with a lot of money that was set away for retirement, etc., starting to build it up, but he wanted to play the lottery more. Fool and his money are soon parted. All right, man's looking after riches. They're also looking for honor. Not too many people in their natural state decide, I want to have an awful reputation. I want people to look down on me. I want to be loathed by everyone. And the Bible says wisdom has these things if you'll seek for her. Look at verse number 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Being wise will make your life more pleasant. The world has a phrase, and it's a bit harsh and a bit crude. But bear with me. They say life is hard. It's harder if you're stupid. All right, have you ever heard it? Now that's a bit harsh and that's a bit crude. But let me soften that a little bit. Life is hard. Don't make it harder than it already is. Okay? One of the things that with our small children that we're trying to teach is to work smarter, not necessarily harder. Right? Our shed has our woods in the back of the house. It's behind the house, not far from the back door. Usually on a day or every other day basis, we'll send the kids out to bring in an armload of wood for the wood stove. They have the ability to find the most difficult way from the shed to the wood stove. It may involve taking a trip around the back of the shed, going around to the front door and coming in that way. If uncorrected, they'll not learn. When carrying heavy loads, the shortest distance between two points is your best option. Right? Life is hard. Don't make it harder than it already is. Scripturally speaking, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Wisdom helps us avoid pitfalls. One of the things that you learn as young people, hopefully, is what crowd to stay away from. There are some people I have zero interest in being around. I have zero interest in being seen with them. Why? I don't want people thinking I'm friends with them. I don't want people thinking I'm in the same boat. You're saying that's harsh. Will I witness to them? Will I reach out to them? Absolutely. But I don't want to be like them or to be thought as one of them. You understand? The wisdom, the ways are of pleasantness. Not only that, all her paths are peace. Peace is an interesting word. It's one of the words that we have botched in our English language. We think of peace as being what? When you think of peace, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Raise your hand. What's that?
No war.
No war, right? We think it as an absence of conflict. In life, there is no absence of conflict. Every one of you faced a conflict today. To come or not to come. Which route to get here. Which clothes to wear. Maybe which vehicle to drive. I don't know. You face conflict. Peace is a calm despite conflict. Read the scriptures. Read especially the New Testament. Read about the peace that we find that those apostles and the missionaries had in spite of their surrounding circumstances. We've seen nothing compared to the circumstances they had to go through. Read through the book of Acts. That's humbling. What they had to endure. Peace is not an absence of conflict. It is a calmness despite the conflicts that are around you. Wisdom will give you a calmness in spite of what's going on around you. I've seen people that have their circumstances are ideal. They have a great life. They have a great family. Their finances are in perfect order. They live in a great place. And yet they're the most unhappy people there are. Pick here for a second. Why has yoga become incredibly popular in our United States? Why? because people are trying to find their inner peace, right? Yoga has become increasingly popular. Now, you talk to the missionary from India. His name's gone from me right at the moment. Jeffcoat. Talk to Brother Jeffcoat about what yoga is, and it is not finding inner peace. It's clearing barriers to infiltration. It's a very scary thing. But what has happened is as people try to find their inner peace, they are less and less peaceful, even though their circumstances may be found to be pretty nice. Wisdom brings peace. And we find that scripturally. Now, we find that through the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you look at four different passages. Who would read John 14, 27 for me, please? All right, Cheryl. Who would read 2 John, obviously chapter 1, verse 3? Thank you. 3 John, verse 14. Okay, Jason. And Jude, verse 2. Sam, thank you. All right, John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says he's going to give us whose peace? His peace. Not as the world giveth. In the 60s, the world was calling for peace, right? What were they calling for? Brother Koval, you said it just a minute ago. No war, right? There will never be a time on earth. You know, spoiler alert, there will never be a time on earth where there's no war. It's not going to be. Because the scripture promises it, and even if the scripture didn't say that, you can look at mankind and say, these guys can't get along. Just not going to happen. Arabs will always have something in for the country of Israel. It's just the way it is. They've been that way for thousands of years. They're not going to stop. So it's not the peace that the world speaks of, and the peace that the world has is temporary. It's often needed to have other things to combine it. Whether it be in the form of medications or whatever the case may be. Jesus said, I'm going to give my peace unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. What we find in wisdom giving us peace is controlling our hearts. Sometimes we become, can I use an expression? Worry warts. Where we worry needlessly over things. Worry is an enemy of peace. It's the opposite. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. All right, 2 John 1, 3. Can you read it for me, sir?
Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.
Thank you. Now, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace go hand in hand. The ones that we're speaking of that wisdom gives come from God the Father and God the Son, all right? But there are two qualifying factors you have to have at the tail end of that verse, truth and love. Lies and deception do not bring peace. One of the biggest temptations for lying to someone is it might disturb them if they know the truth. They cannot have proper peace or proper mercy and grace if they don't know the truth. And secondly, is love. Good biblical love. We talked about that in times when we referenced 1 John. 1 John has a lot to do about love. That's another word that's been destroyed in our English vernacular. Love means I get what I want. You give me what I want or what I think I want, that means you love me. If I gave my kids everything they wanted, I would not love them. They'd be in terrible health and terrible mental state very, very soon, wouldn't they? Imagine if you let a four-year-old Reuben eat whatever he wants every day. How long would it take? Less than a week, right? Peace comes with truth and love. 3 John, verse 14.
But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee.
John's writing and finishing the book of 3 John, and he says, peace be to thee. Peace is something that he was encouraging them. Now, you read the book of 3 John, and you find that the church and the people he's writing to are going through a difficult time with difficult circumstances. In fact, there is a guy named Diotrephes who has stuck his head up and is loves the preeminence. And you read through, it's only a short book, you can read through it in a few minutes. You find it is not an enjoyable time that that place is going through. But he still wishes peace upon them. What is it? It's that internal calm despite our circumstances. You look at the missionaries that go to foreign fields that are very difficult places, and you talk to them, and they're very pleasant, and they have peaceful ways about them. And you look at their circumstances and be like, how can that be? There's a peace that comes from God that passeth all understanding, doesn't it? Jude verse 2 for me, if you would, Sam. Very shortly after Jude starts his book, that short one chapter book, he's talking to them, he addresses who he is, and in verse number 2, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love. Those three things go together. But look through them with the lens of Scripture, not what our culture says. See, our culture tints or changes the definitions of words. Read through an old textbook. Read through an old book and you'll find how words have definitely changed meanings in our culture. But the Scripture hasn't changed. We should look at them through the lens of Scripture. Now, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is one of those verses, verse 13, same chapter, that is often abused, isn't it? People say, you know, I can do all things through Christ. You read the verses before it, and you'll see what kind of things are being talked about there. This says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. And people want to claim that peace, but they want to ignore the last part of that verse, through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God that passeth all understanding through his Son. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. She is a tree of life. The term tree of life occurs, as best I can tell, 10 times in the Scriptures. You'll find it 3 times in Genesis, 4 times in Proverbs, and 3 times in Revelations. I want to look at the 3 different places that you find it here in the book of Proverbs. This is one. Could someone read Proverbs 11, verse 30 for me, please? Proverbs 11, 30. Go ahead. Jason, can you read chapter 13, verse 12? Could someone else read chapter 15 and verse 4? Jim Bush. Okay. I'm sorry. I have forgotten your name, sir.
Brian.
Okay. Can you read chapter 11, verse 30 for me?
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise.
Okay. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A righteous person will produce fruit that can be visible, that is very real, and it is a tree of life. All right? That means that it is a tree of life to those around them. That last half of the verse, he that winneth souls is wise, is one that has been used and abused a whole lot. All right? But if we're going to be in the ministry of reaching souls, we need to make sure we do it in a wise fashion. In a wise fashion. Men's souls are not something you play about with. You don't. It's not a game. It's not for sales techniques. And it's not something that you do as an insurance competition. All right? There needs to be a degree of wisdom that's involved. I'll get off that soapbox. Chapter 13, verse 12, please. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Sometimes it's better to have no hope than to get hope and lose it. In other aspects, hope is the last thing that we have. Often when someone is fighting, say, a terminable disease or something of that nature, hope is the last thing to go. All right? I'm not referring to that. But hope deferred from a spiritual perspective, makes the heart sick. Disappointments are very difficult. When you look at that verse, though, you find that after it makes the heart sick, you find the word but. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. When God gives us the desires of our heart, when we ask for things from a spiritual perspective, when we ask things in line with His will, when God grants those wishes, then it is a tree of life. And it provides life to our souls. We're hearing testimonies of how Kelly is encouraged with her progress. This is a hope that has been deferred for many times for her, has it not? If I can use her as an example. Hope deferred. Go to the hospital, and hopefully I'll see improved numbers. Sometimes she's seen them. Sometimes she hasn't. And when she hasn't seen it, her heart is sick because her hope's been deferred. But when we see the desire come, it is a tree of life. There's an encouragement. There's a spring in our step. Spiritually speaking, don't give up hope. All right, chapter 15, verse 4 for me, Jim. We see two things that are contrasted. In Proverbs, oftentimes you'll see, Proverbs that will state something and then add to it, or you will see a statement made and a contrast at the end of the proverb. Those are, to me, those are the two most common kinds of proverbs that you'll find. Here we find a contrast. A wholesome tongue. A wholesome tongue. Some people have ways with words to put oil on troubled waters or to make things better or to direct the conversation away from a topic it shouldn't be on, or they're just gifted, they would have what the Bible calls a wholesome tongue. One of my board members, his name is Dr. Steve Ziner, is incredibly gracious and incredibly gifted at keeping conversations where they need to be and to deflect before controversy springs up where controversy shouldn't be. But perverseness. We all have worked with that guy or that lady that can stir things up where there is nothing. Haven't we? Their name or face is crossing your mind right now, and it's not pleasant. They have a perverseness of tongue. And it's almost to the point when you see them or when they're headed your way, you're thinking, oh no, how can I get away? How can I avoid them? And you're thankful when they are quiet, or more bluntly, they finally shut up, because there's a perverseness of tongue there. The opposite, those that have a wholesome tongue, have the ability to see, it may be a difficult thing, whether in your family, or in your job, or in your neighborhood, or your friends, there are two separate kinds of people at polar and those that have a perverse tongue. And the wholesome tongue is like a... The Bible talks about that as someone who has a word fitly spoken, who has made a difference at the right time. And we've all met the opposite, the perverse tongue that just makes things worse. It's curious when you look up in the book of Proverbs with the tree of life. A wise person will have a... Did I get loud all of a sudden? Okay. If it's something I did, I'm sorry. There is a... Wisdom brings a tree of life in the way that we speak, in the way that we do things, in the way that our hopes and expectations are. When it talks of that tree of life, we are very complex creatures. And we need to make sure that our words are properly chosen, that our hopes are properly aimed, and that our actions are properly done. That's all part of the tree of life. Look at verses 19 and 20. We won't look at them of any length, but just glance at them. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. The Bible talks about Lord Jesus Christ being our example. We're to look towards him as to how to model our lives. When you look at these two verses, you find that by wisdom the Lord founded the earth. One of the things that shouldn't surprise me, but is a pleasant thing, find how often the Holy Spirit subtly reinforces other scriptures in Bible study. For example, the ministry of the Conversion Center is designed to reach Roman Catholics, right? Roman Catholics are taught that Mary is the perpetual virgin, that she never had relations with Joseph and certainly had no children. Find in Matthew that her other children are named, all right? And Catholics Catechism tries to refute that, and there are several ways that they do that. But if you pay very close attention to the rest of the Gospels, you'll find little subtle places where Mary is mentioned as, for example, at the cross, she is referred to as the mother of James and of Joseph. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't have to do that. He could have said, Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's at the foot of the cross, after all. But he did that to reinforce Scripture. Here we find, in the middle of chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs, a reinforcement for what? Creation and the flood. Guess what we find attacked on a level unlike any other time, even in professing Christian schools? Creation and the flood. Because people want to be thought of as intellectuals, and all the intellectuals know that creation couldn't have possibly happened and there was no worldwide flood. That's what they believe. I remember I took world regional geography, and the professor was a staunch liberal and would have nothing to do with anything biblically speaking. She's talking one day about plate tectonics and how the plates of the continents were once together and spread apart. And she talks about how large a force it must have taken to spread them out. And she's going on and on. And of course, I'm way too mischievous and raising my hand and said, what could possibly have done that? Oh, it would have taken an immense amount of weight to do this. Oh, really? What could that possibly be? Well, you know, we're not entirely sure. I said, could it have been water? Yes, it could have been. I said, would a flood have done it? Well, I don't know. I said, what about a worldwide flood? Yes, that could have done it. And then I smiled. She had just admitted that a worldwide flood could spread the continents apart. And she was not pleased. But here in Proverbs chapter 3, we see a backbone and a proof for the flood and, of course, creation. But what are we talking about in regards to Proverbs chapter 3? We're talking about wisdom. God through his wisdom. When people deny creation and when they deny a worldwide flood, by God's definition, they are not wise. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you see how it comes around in a circle? Right? If you're going to deny that God, the giver of all wisdom, the giver of peace, did not create the earth like he said, did not flood the earth like he did, then you are not wise. And given the right amount of time, given the right amount of space, man certainly proves it. Because the same people that say God did not create the earth, God did not flood the earth, are the same people that say there are 86 genders. And life does not begin at birth. Right? We always knew they were not wise by God's standards because God said so. Right? But given enough freedom, they've proven it to any sane individual. We just need to be patient. If we get tempted to want to be seen as intellectual or accepted by the world, then we step out of the boundaries of what God calls wisdom. Let's stick to what he says and watch the rest of the world suffer from the results of stupidity and foolishness by God's definition. Not Mark's, not yours, God's definition. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time we're able to spend together. Guide us in the morning service. Bless these folks for coming here today in spite of the weather coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.